Exodus chapter 13, verses 20 through 22. This is the reading of God's word. Then they set out from Succoth and camped in Etham on the edge of wilderness. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of hearing your word. We pray that you would grant us an ear to hear, that we may hear your loving voice through your word. Tell us the wonderful stories of Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what your Son has done and accomplished for us. That what is true of us, now and forever, that we may see that and rejoice and give you all the thanksgiving. Oh Father, let our faith grow, and Father, let us live by faith, not by sight. Oh Father, we pray, you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we last time stopped at verse 19, so let us finish chapter 13 today. Let me read to you again verses 21 and 22. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. They are out of Egypt, and as you know, they're headed to the promised land. Thus, the life of wilderness begins. But even though it is a life of wilderness, we have to remember all the time that God is leading them, that God is with them. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire. A pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, they are what we call theophany. A theophany is a visible manifestation or appearances of God in the Old Testament. No, do not seek theophany today. You will meet your God in His Word. But in the Old Testament, there was many visible manifestations, appearances of God in a physical form. In our passage, God came to His people in the pillar of cloud and in the pillar of fire. The people of God will live in the wilderness the next 40 years, but God is with them all the way through. God is with them, as we read so many times already, in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the last verse says that God did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night before the people. During the wilderness life of the Israelites, God never leaves them nor forsakes them. We have seen the last time how they took the bones of Joseph out of Egypt and took them to the promised land. And we have learned how that event witnessed our reality of resurrection from the dead and our reality of being delivered into heaven and possessing heaven. Now seeing the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire being with these people, we see once again our reality of heaven. God is with us, always. In our passage, we see how God does not appear to just a few special people, but He is visible to everyone, to all the nation of Israel. And God does not appear only in a few special occasions, but God appears to them all the time. And this is very important for you to see that God is with them always during the journey of the wilderness. Actually, the wilderness journey is the only time in the Old Testament history in which God is with them and appears to them continually. As soon as they go into the promised land, the pillar of cloud and the fire disappear. But as you know, the Old Testament is a shadow of what was to come, what our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished forever for His people. God is always with His people, and this is the eternal reality of heaven that is true of you, true of all of us. Our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished this reality for us. Revelation chapter 21 verse 3 says, "And I heard a loud voice from throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them." This is what our salvation is all about, that God is with His people. God is with you forever and ever. That heavenly reality is shown to us in a shadowy form in our passage. Now, cloud, the pillar of cloud. What is the symbolism of cloud in the Bible? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22 says, "These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain from the midst of fire, of the cloud, and of the thick gloom, with a great voice. And He added no more. He wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me." Obviously, it is speaking of the Mount Sinai experience of Israelites. God came to His people in the fire and in the cloud. Psalm 104, verse 3b says, "He makes the clouds His chariot." Psalm 18, verse 12 talks about God's dwelling place as the thick clouds. Exodus chapter 24, verse 15 through 18, "Then Moses went up to the mountain and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days, and the seventh day He called Moses from the midst of the cloud. And to the eyes of the sons of Israel, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop. Moses entered the midst of the cloud as he went up to the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. As you could see, with the cloud and the fire, God hides His glory as He appears in them to His people. The sinners cannot handle the glory of God, the raw glory of God, the unveiled glory of God. God has said, anyone who sees God will die. Because sinners cannot handle the glory of God. In the Bible, the cloud is closely related to the glory of God. As we see God coming in the cloud, we are actually seeing the coming of God in the glory, in glory. Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 33, "For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds, a time of doom for the nations." So Jesus' return, God's coming, is described as Him coming in the clouds. It will be a day of clouds. The day of the Lord, the day our God comes, it will be a day of clouds. Just like Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 15 also talks about the judgment day of God as the day of clouds. Daniel chapter 7 verse 13 through 14, "I kept looking in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed." God coming with the clouds points to the fact that God will come in glory. In the New Testament, at the Mount of Transfiguration, we see again a picture of the glorious heaven. And there we see again God talks to His people in the clouds. Apostle Peter describes the same event and says this in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 17, "For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Do you see it? Peter equates the cloud with the majestic glory. Matthew chapter 24 verse 30, "And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory." Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says, "Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him, so it is to be. Amen." So he is coming with the clouds. Well, not the clouds that we see in the skies these days. That's why Daniel verse that we read uses the phrase, "the clouds of heaven." Many places in the Old Testament then, we see the connection between clouds and God's coming to His people. Later in the book of Exodus, we will see when it is time for God to come into the tabernacle, we see the cloud of glory. Exodus chapter 40 verse 34, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." So you could even say it is the glory cloud. And it's not, you know, cloud that you find in the sky. The phrase, "He is coming with the clouds," refers to Him coming with glory. He is coming with power and glory. Revelation chapter 14 verse 14 says, "Then I looked and behold a white cloud. And sitting on the cloud was one like a son of man, having a golden crown on his head and sharp sickle in his hand." Now, golden crown, you could see son of man. This is Jesus Christ. And he says he is sitting on the cloud. Now, come on. You cannot sit on the cloud. It's a symbolic language. Do not take that literally. It means that he is sitting as the king in the position of glory. That's what it's showing. So when he comes in the clouds, then he comes in his glory. That's the picture. So the pillar of cloud that people are looking at is a glorious cloud, glory cloud. But we need to go a little bit further. In Matthew chapter 17, we see our Lord's transfiguration, as we saw. He was shining with the glory of heaven. And Matthew 17 verse 5 says, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." A similar thing happened at Lord's baptism. Matthew chapter 3 verse 16 and 17, after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lightning on him. And behold, a voice out of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Two events are similar with one difference. The before, the voice came from what? In the event, we see a bright cloud overshadowing. In the other event, we see the Holy Spirit descending. So the only difference is one story, we have the cloud of glory. The other, the Holy Spirit. They are so closely related. Do you remember when the tabernacle is completed? The cloud of glory, the Spirit of God, and the glory of God fill the tabernacle. So we believe all three are very closely related. When we see one, we are actually seeing the other. You cannot separate these things. Because Holy Spirit, when you see, well, you will see the glory of God. So, the glory in which our Lord will come is the glory of the Holy Spirit. So our Lord will come with the clouds. Not only that he will come with the power and glory, but it also saying that he will come with the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 63 verse 14, as the cattle which go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. This verse talks about the wilderness journey of the Israelites. But here we see that it is the Holy Spirit who leads the people of God. But our Exodus passage says that Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way. Here we see the pillar of cloud leading the Israelites. But in the other, it was the Holy Spirit leading the Israelites. The pillar of cloud not only points to the glory of God, but the glory that it points to is the glory of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus comes back, yes, he will come in glory, but he will come with Holy Spirit. When you read Acts chapter 2, it talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit. But that coming of the Holy Spirit was for the believers. When Jesus comes back, the coming of the Holy Spirit happens again. But this time, the Holy Spirit comes for the non-Christians. He comes to judge, pour out God's judgment upon this world. See, everything happens in two stages. In his first coming, and in His second coming. In first coming, it's all spiritual. But only in His second coming, everything will be visible. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit now is invisible. Because it only happens to Christians now. But when Jesus comes back, the baptism of the Holy Spirit for non-Christians will be visible. So, some of us believe that the fire that you will find in hell is exactly the Holy Spirit. He judges the sinners. Because we're going to look at the next one, the pillar of fire. God is the consuming fire. So, in our passage then, as the pillar of cloud is with God's people, we are looking at the fact that the Holy Spirit is being with God's people in an Old Testament fashion, not fully revealed, but in an Old Testament fashion. Now the pillar of fire. God has appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And that fire was pointing to God. The fire is often used in the Bible as a picture of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, "For our God is consuming fire." Even at Mount Sinai, God came to His people in the fire. The fire represents the holiness of God. The sinner cannot come to God on their own. They all be consumed. God's final judgment is the judgment of fire. Judgment of the Holy Spirit. And when we say fire, don't think of fire of this world. Those are not forever. Those are, just fire of this world. But the fire in hell is never quenching fire. God's judgment is never quenching judgment in hell. It's forever judgment. In Zechariah chapter 2, we see the description of heaven this way. God Himself will be a wall of fire around heaven, and God Himself will be the glory in her midst. The heaven is surrounded by fire, if you will. The heaven is surrounded by the holiness of God. And heaven is filled with the glory of God. Or in the Old Testament way, the heaven is filled with the glory clouds. And nothing that is not holy and righteous can enter heaven. All will be consumed by fire, consumed by the holiness of God. This reality has been shown to us in so many places in the Bible, but example would be Genesis. After Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the way to the tree of life was blocked by the cherubim and the flaming sword, the sword of fire. Again, it represents the holiness of God. In order for a sinner to go to reach the tree of life, he needs to go through that fire. But because he's a sinner, what happens to him? He will never reach the tree of life because he will be consumed. He will be judged. This reality was also seen in the temple and in the tabernacle. As you enter the gate of tabernacle, and before you go into holy holies and the Holy of Holies, you have to pass two things. One is the altar where you burn your sacrifice. So the burn offering happens, you know, right at the gate. As soon as you go in, there will be an altar where the sacrifice is burned. The next one is what we might call a container with water. So the picture is that in order for you to enter the God's house, the Holy of Holies, first you have to pass through the fire and you have to pass through the sea. That container that has water in 1 Kings, it is actually called sea. So you know, we learned this, right? Crossing the Red Sea. Well, actually, crossing the Red Sea is coming. We didn't learn yet. In my mind, I already know what is happening there. It's actually crossing the Red Sea is baptism. But it's not only Israelites who got baptized, but Egyptians, they got baptized too, but their baptism wasn't good for them. It was actually death. So crossing the Red Sea was actually judgment for them. So here, before you go into God's house, you have to cross the fire, you have to cross the sea. And this is what Jesus Christ has done for you. That he was sacrificed as the burnt offering. He was consumed by that fire, the judgment of the Holy Spirit on the cross. He dies. And that cross is also called the baptism of Christ. There, he crossed the sea. But because he was sinless, he came out from the other side of the sea, meaning he resurrected from the dead. So, Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the Garden of Eden, the way to the Tree of Life was blocked by the cherubim and flaming sword, the sword of fire. Again, it represents the holiness of God. The sinners cannot get to the Tree of Life. They will be consumed by fire. That is the picture. Unless you go with Christ, in Christ. We see in our passage a picture of heaven. God's people are not consumed by the pillar of fire. And that is the wonderful picture. You need to see this. Don't just read it carelessly. And you go, okay, there's a pillar of fire. And God's people are right next to it. And because of that fire, they were able to see things at night. It's not like that. It points to the presence of God. And the amazing picture that we see in our passage is that God's people are not consumed by that pillar of fire. At the Mount Sinai, what happened? Only Moses could come to God. God's people were at the foot of the mountain and they were so terrified because God appears in fire and in cloud and thunder and lightning, and nobody wanted to get close because they were so terrified. And yet that is not what we see in the wilderness. So that's why Acts chapter 2 is so amazing. In Acts chapter 2, you see 120 people of God at the upper room. They were praying and they were gathering. And here comes the Holy Spirit landing on them. All 120 people. And guess what? They were not consumed. That is the most amazing picture that God is now with His people. And because of what Jesus Christ has done, His people are not consumed. His people are able to be with God. You know, you guys are the most amazing miracle of God. You carry, I don't know what else, what other word I should use here, but you carry, so to speak, the Holy Spirit in you. And yet you're not consumed. You don't die. See, every morning you wake up and you look yourself in the mirror and be amazed. I don't die. Even though God is with me, even though He lives in me, I do not die. That's your reality. And here, that's what we see. Israelites, they're not consumed. They are the pictures of who are righteous and holy sons of God in Jesus Christ. But again, we must go further here. In Acts chapter 2, we see the coming of the Holy Spirit. And as I said, that in chapter 2, verse 3, it says that there appeared to them tongues of fire, distributing themselves as they rested on each one of them. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, we see the coming of God to His people. Thus, the pillar of fire also points to the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, John the Baptist talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But He who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove His sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is at His hand, and He will thoroughly clear His threshing floor, and He will gather His wheat into the barn, but He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a terrifying thing for the sinners. And yet, in chapter 2 of Acts, it was actually a good thing for God's people because of Jesus Christ. He died for their sins and He lived the perfect righteous life for them. And this is a picture of heaven. In heaven, God is with His people forever and ever, and yet they are never consumed. They are the holy and righteous sons of God in Jesus Christ. They are the holy temple of God. And who has made them that way? Well, obviously the answer is Jesus Christ. And this heavenly reality is shown to us in a shadowy form in our passage in the book of Exodus. At the Mount Sinai, the fire and the cloud came down upon the mountain not only upon the people of God. God said to them, "Don't come near." When the tabernacle and the temple were completed, what happened? The glory of God filled them completely, and we read in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 and 35, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." The glory of the Lord is so bright and so amazing that Moses could not even go into the tabernacle. And the same thing happened when the temple was completed. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. It happened that when the priest came from the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Numbers chapter 11, verse 25. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and he took the spirit who was upon him and placed him upon the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do it again. See, all of these Old Testament events are the earthly, temporary, and partial. But in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. All of the Old Testament imageries of our heavenly reality have been completely and perfectly fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now spiritually and later visibly, when he comes again. And I want you to see yourselves in our passage. You know, Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 talks about our life, Christian life here on earth, as a wilderness life. Yes, it's not the same wilderness life of the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, there's no sense of them arriving in the promised land already as they journey through the wilderness. It's only wilderness. They have to go to the promised land. But because of what Christ has done, our wilderness journey is different. In one sense, in spiritual sense, we have already arrived in the promised land. And yet there's wilderness journey that is still left for us. But this wilderness journey that we're on, this is journey with confidence because you have already arrived and yet you still have to journey through the wilderness. But as what you are looking at in the wilderness, as they journeyed through this wilderness, God was with them in the pillar of fire and in the pillar of cloud. And in that, I want you to see your heavenly reality. As you journey through this wilderness journey, God is with you. Not as a pillar of fire and pillar of cloud. But Holy Spirit Himself is with you. He lives in you. And He leads you. He guides you. The Holy Spirit lives in you and God's glory is filled in you. We possess God and His kingdom as our eternal inheritance. All have been completely accomplished for us. Brothers and sisters, we have our own pillars of fire and cloud. The Holy Spirit who lives in us is our pillar of fire and pillar of cloud. And the Holy Spirit fills us with the glory of God. If you see yourself with the eyes of faith, you will see the glory of God filled in you, so bright. You remember Moses could not get in, this priest could not get in because it was so brightly shining. And yet, brighter than that, glory is now filled in you. You know, these people in our passage, when they looked at the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, it must have been beautiful and just glorious. And when they look at those pillars, they had the confidence, God is with us. He is leading us. And they were able to trust Him.
well, not really well.
But think about your reality that Jesus has already accomplished. Yes, it's not visible. You don't see the glory. You don't see the fire. But the real thing is with you. He lives in you. And He guides you. Only with the eyes of faith. Only through the Word you need to see that glory that fills you. It's an infinite time greater and glorious, more glorious than what these people saw in those pillars. His glory fills you. And the fire of God lives in you, not consuming you, but give you all the strength and energy you ever need. The light of that glory shines. I mean, on that night, you know, night times in the wilderness, because of pillar of fire, you could just see how bright all the surroundings. So you could see where you're going. But infinite times more brighter light shines upon you. And you, through the eyes of faith, also see your way to God. And that is Jesus Christ. He is the way to God. And I want you to understand, whenever you read the Bible, and whenever you hear the preaching of the gospel, in your heart, inside of you, the amazing bright light shines that you see the truth. You understand the truth. That is happening every single time you read and you hear the word preached. Do you see how God is guiding you in this wilderness life? He shines that light so that you may see the truth. You may see Jesus Christ through the Word. Infinite times more awesome reality is yours. Just because you don't see it with your physical eyes, don't think all this is not happening to you. See, God wrote this so that you may, through these events, you may see what amazing things are happening in your life. This is your story. This is your heavenly reality. And you must believe. Otherwise, you are not a believer. Oh, then, all these things has nothing to do with you. But you are a believer. You believe. Believe His word. So every time you feel like you're lost in this wilderness journey, oh boy, I feel like that all the time. And you don't see where. Well, remember what is really happening in your life. God does shine the light of glory all the time. And He leads you and guides you. And in spiritual sense, He has already guided you to your destination. That you already have arrived. So even as you feel your loss, don't worry. You're already there. So you will not lose your way forever. No, you're already there. And do you remember how God had to say to Israelites, don't come near? Well, He doesn't say that to you anymore. It's not just coming near to Him. You are united to Him. He is with you, in you, as you are in Him. Now, you know, there is no way to draw this. How can you draw you being in Him and Him being in you? How can you even have that visible concept? You can't. And yet, that is true of you. He is with us and we are with Him. God is our God and we are His people now and forever. Listen to His promise to you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let us follow the perfect way to God that God shows us. And that way is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You send us the Holy Spirit, our pillar of fire, our pillar of cloud, that Jesus Christ is now seen. His glory is now seen to us in Your Word. Oh Father, we thank You that You do not leave us like an orphan, but that You are with us and guide us to the end. We thank You. And we love You, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.